How are we doing? You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Ian Bruce, and I'm Director of Rugby Youth for Christ. Okay, so my kind of job is to work with young people and tell them about Jesus, you know, in a relevant way. And it was just really interesting hearing Simon talk, you know, because he's a foreigner and so am I. And I can... So I feel your pain, brother. I feel your pain. You know, looking at these people going, "You're speaking English. Is that English?" So, but praise God. Isn't that amazing to think that, you know, we're joined together by God's love, by God's grace, and that no matter where we're from, we've got this connection with those who are in Christ. I was asked to come and talk about an inclusive church, an inclusive gospel. And I've got to say, I struggle with that word inclusive, right? I think because from a church point of view, from a kingdom of God point of view, that's not what Jesus asked us to do. From a business point of view, from an educational point of view, from a cultural point of view, I understand that, where you include people from every diverse culture, from every sphere of life, and I totally get that. I understand that, and I think we should be doing that. I don't think we should be judging people depending on their sexual preference, their colour, you know, their how good looking they are. You know, some of us have a cross to bear. You know, this is my money. But we should include them. But see, when it comes to the church, it's quite different. Because Jesus asks us to accept people. I don't know if you've thought about it, but the gospel isn't exclusive, but it's specific. The gospel works on you making choices. So does Jesus love everybody? Yes. Is everybody a child of God? Yes. Is everybody a son? No. That's the choice that you make. Who's it for? It's for everybody. It's for absolutely everybody. And it was quite, and I just want to kind of get that we want what we're doing here. And I'm saying we because I'm part of you. You know, I may be living in a different place and I may be of a different part of the vineyard that I'm working in. But you represent me. I represent you because we're the church of God. We are the sons. And I'm using the sons in the general term, sons and daughters of God, you know. And the reason I use the word son, because a son is an heir. And whether you're a girl or a boy, a man or a woman, when you become a child of God, you become an heir. Do you know what I'm saying? You get all the benefits of being a son. You get all the benefits of being first in line. And when you've heard that, God's not got any grandchildren. He's only got sons and daughters. But here, this magical thing that Jesus did on the cross made girls, boys, men, women, become eligible to become the heirs. I don't know if any years have anything passed down from your mum or your dad. My mum died, in fact, kind of weird, my mum died on the same day as 9/11. So I was kind of distracted a wee bit about the 9/11. it's a kind of weird thing because this global thing's happening. You know, the Twin Towers have come down, thousands of people have lost their lives, but my mum had died, you know. My mum wasn't a rich person. And she never had a lot to leave me. She never had a lot to pass on to me. But what she did. I mean, think your estate was, I say estate, it sounds grand. The wee scrappy house that she lived in got sold. And I think there was about £4,000 that could divide between me and my sisters. So that was two trips to McDonald's. I like my McDonald's. But I got my inheritance, you know. In Middle Eastern culture, you never got your inheritance unless you were the son, unless you were the first son. Everything went to him, and then he managed that. But here, when we're talking about inclusion and acceptance, I just want to define that. Do you know what I'm saying? We need to be inclusive in our behavior, and we need to be accepting in our attitude and grace. But we don't change the church so that people come in. We say, come in. Will accept you the way that you are. If you want to follow Jesus, it means, like Simon said, giving him everything. No half measures. But the problem is that when we talk about the church, people have a different idea. I'm sure if you're over 40, you've probably had a bad experience at church, you know, in the sense of maybe the way that you were brought up, the way that you were told you had to behave, the way things went. I don't know how people see us. I can only imagine. And we're going to watch a wee video clip, and I think sometimes people see the church like this. Kind of lonely.
You there, Olga.
Aye.
By the order of Lord Farquaad, I am authorized to place you both under arrest and transport you to a designated resettlement
facility. Oh, really? You and what army?
Can I say something? Listen, you look really, really something. Incredible.
Are you talking to
me? Whoa. Yes, I was talking to you. Can I just tell you that you was really great back there, man? Those guards, they thought it was all of that. Then you showed up and bam, they were tripping over themselves like babes in the woods. See that? That really made me feel good to see that.
Oh, that's great.
Really?
Man, it's good to be free.
Now, why don't you go celebrate your freedom with your own friends? Hmm?
But, I don't have any friends. And I'm not going out there by myself.
Hey, wait a minute, I got a great idea. I'll stick with you.
You a mean green fighting machine. Together we'll scare the spit out anybody that crosses us. That was really scary. And if you don't mind me saying, if that don't work, your breath certainly will get the job done, cause you definitely need some Tic Tacs or something, cause your breath stinks! Man, you almost burned the hair out my nose. Just like the time. And then I ate some rotten berries. Man, I had some strong gases eking out of my butt that day.
Why are you following me?
I'll tell you why. Cause I'm all alone. There's no one here beside me. My problems have all gone. There's no one to deride me. But you gotta have friends.
Stop singing! Well, it's no wonder you don't have any friends.
Wow. Only a true friend would be that truly honest.
Listen, little donkey. Take a look at me. What am I?
Really tall?
No! I'm an ogre. You know, grab your torch and pitchforks. Doesn't that bother you?
Nope.
Really?
Really, really.
Oh.
Man, I like you. What's your name?
Shrek.
Shrek? Well, you know what I like about you, Shrek? You got that kind of, I don't care what nobody thinks of me, man. I like that. I respect that, Shrek. You all right. Ooh, look at that. Who's gonna live in a place like that?
That would be my home.
Oh, and it is lovely, just beautiful. You know, you are quite a decorator. It's amazing what you've done with such a modest budget. I like that boulder. That is a nice boulder.
I guess you don't entertain much, do you?
I like my privacy.
You know, I do too. That's another thing we have in common. Like, I hate it when you got somebody in your face, you're trying to give them a hint and they won't leave. And then there's that big awkward silence, you know. Can I stay with you?
What?
Can I stay with you, please?
Of course!
Really?
No.
Please, I don't want to go back there. You don't know what it's like to be considered a freak.
Well, maybe you do.
But that's why we gotta stick together. You gotta let me stay. Please, please.
Okay, okay. But one night only.
Thank you!
What are you doing?
Oh, no. This is gonna be fun. We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh! Where do, I sleep?
Outside!
Oh,
I guess that's cool. And I don't know you, and you don't know me, so I guess outside is best, you know?
Yeah, I go. Good night.
I mean, I do like the outdoors. I'm a donkey. I was born outside. Sitting by myself outside, I guess, you know? By myself outside. I'm all alone. There's no one here beside.
That's fine, just stop it there. You know, sometimes that's how outsiders see us. Not like Shrek, although some people have commented that I may be nearer to looking like Shrek than maybe Brad Pitt. I don't know about that. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we can push people away. And you see, we think, well, let's be in the world, but not of the world. I get that. But what ends up happening is, as we start separating ourselves from people, we start saying, well, unless you believe this or unless you think this, then you need to stay away. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus accepted people no matter what they believed, where they were from, what their behavior was like. He asked, he says, if you come and follow me, there's a cost. There's a cost. And you see, God asks us to be distinct, not distant. And when we're having a, when we are Canley Community Church, we need to make sure that we're distinct, that it's not just a club, that it's not just about meeting people's needs, that it's not just about feeding people, which is brilliant. And that I was talking to, is it Richard? He was sort of telling us about the breakfast club that you have, and you know, and then people come and they stay for excellent. Keep doing more of that. And I'm sure people on a low budget would say, yeah, keep doing that. Do that every day. I'm involved with Messy Church over in rugby, you know, and I love it. I just love, because, you know, you get to where people are at, and I think that's the most important thing. But in the past, we've been like that, like Shrek. We've been distant and not distinct. What makes us distinct is that we value people for being human beings. We value people because God values them. We love people because God, that's what makes us distinct. And I know it's difficult. You know, I know it's difficult with people, especially when you get smelly people coming in. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, especially you get people who don't wash every day. Especially when you get, you know, I would hate if the church in Britain were to apply those rules, you know, in India. It just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. You know, and we need to start thinking to ourselves, what is it that makes us distinct? Well, what is it that makes us distinct? The fact that we're in relationship with Jesus. The fact that Jesus has says, I love you. Come follow me. There was a phone my friend the other week there, and I get through, and it was his son on the phone. And I says, how are you doing? He says, hello. And I says, well, hello. I says, can I speak to your dad? He says, dad's not here. And I was like, okay. All right, well, can I speak to your mum? It's just my mum's not here. She's with my dad. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, don't go any further. Keep it clean. I'm an adult here. And she says, so what are they doing? She says, well, they're talking to the policeman. Oh, so you start to wonder then. You start to think, okay, right, this seven-year-old kid's telling me that his mum and dad are talking to this policeman, and I'm thinking, all right, I hope everything's okay. And I says, so what are they doing now? And he says, oh, they're talking to the man from the fire brigade. And I was like, so your mum and dad and the policeman are talking to the man from the fire brigade? And I'm starting to get really worried here. And I says, so what's happening now? He says, well, the ambulance has turned up. And I'm thinking, oh, no, has his sister been in an accident? And he, oh, just don't know. And he says, but it's okay. He says, because the helicopter's turned up. I says, so your mum and dad are talking to the policeman, talking to the fire brigade, talking to the ambulance man, and there's a helicopter turned up. I says, what's happening? I says, what are they doing? They're looking for me. Obviously, just a little story. Is God looking for you? And you try to hide? Is God saying, you've sat down for so long, you don't know how to get up and serve me? You've sat down for so long, and you're quite comfortable there. I've got work for you to do. Think about Noah and Moses in their 80s, hundreds, and they were still serving God. Are we hiding from God? because, you know, if we want to see the kingdom come, we need to put, you know, our shoulder to the wheel. We need to get involved. It's not my thing. Well, what is your thing? What is your thing? Yeah, well, see, I'm just trying to be distinct, you know. No. I saw this wee plaque once, and it just says, the best strategy is do something. Do you know what I mean? And I quite like that. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of old school in its manner, but the best strategy is do. I've got a friend, and he'd went away to work and serve the Lord, and he's back, and he's kind of back with his tail between his legs, but he's spending like 6-8 weeks just finding himself. And it's like, I know where you are. You're there, and you're in a mess. Do you know what I mean? Ask Jesus for some help, and he'll help you. Do you know what I mean? But we can get so super spiritual that we don't get involved. That we sit back. God's looking for you to play your part. You see, one of the biggest things is that, you know, we talk about God having a purpose for our life, but it's not just to be happy. It's to serve Him. It's to share our faith. It's to tell others that there is hope in Jesus. It's to tell others that things don't need to be this way. So we have to be distinct, not distant. We've also to be set apart. The Bible talks about that. It's, oh, well, isn't that the same as being, you know, in the sea and being a ship and not coming in? Well, being set apart is to serve Him. It's not to come and do nothing. But many of us are not set apart. We're set adrift. Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, I'm kind of doing my own thing with church, you know. I'm just sort of, yeah, well, I don't need church. Wrong. You do need church. I need you guys. I need people. We were never created to do it on our own. We were never created to be on our own. You say, well, that's a good point, Ian, the creation thing. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that, don't you think we were involved in that? And I'm like, no, I don't. And you might be a scientist and you might be studying, but and there's just so many loopholes in the evolution. I'm sorry, but people say that with Christianity. And we're not the only ones that get sort of a twist on a weird story. So the gospel story is God created the universe, everything within it, right? And He set it in play, right? He created Adam and Eve, and I kind of believe there's a literal Adam and Eve. You know, and it's funny, we've just found out, scientists have just told us that they can trace mankind. That's mankind. I don't know if that's mankind in Death Talk. The guys have went away. But they've mankind back to two people, to a man and a woman. That's what scientists have. They've said, look, if we can tell. We know where they were. We don't know their names because we're not that old. But we know. And I'm thinking, that's strange. I know a story quite similar to that. So the biblical or the gospel version is that God created mankind. We kind of went off the boil. He sent His Son. We asked for forgiveness. We come back into relationship. But God created it. The alternative is that everything came from nothing. Do you know the facts are? We still don't know how life started on planet Earth. If we take God out of the equation, scientists still don't know how life started on planet Earth. Shut up. Shut up. They don't. DNA! One of the most complicated things ever thing made. That just happened. Just from where? The things that there's a code, literally a code in DNA. Yeah, I know. So who put it there? Do you know what I'm saying? Mathematics don't work because we invented it. You know, I think it's a God thing. He's made it work. You know, we never invented chords and music. They were always there. We just uncovered them. Do you know what I mean? We're to be set apart, but no, set adrift. And we're to be connected, not just in contact with. You see, when Jesus says, I'm coming to your house, I'm coming for tea, He was connecting with people. He never just took His name and said, right, I've got it in a wee bit of paper. You've responded to the option that you might want to follow me for the rest of your life. Thank you. We'll send you a little note. Jesus never did that. Jesus went to where people were. He accepted their circumstances. He accepted the way they were. But he says, look, there's more. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. I want to challenge us to be people who aren't hiding from God, to be people who are distinct, set apart, and who are connected with the community round about us. Because what did Jesus do? He was distinct. He was set apart for God's work, and he connected with the people that he worked with, the people that followed him. And you know, Jesus says the same thing to me as he says to you, as he says to the first disciples. He says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Then he says, go, make disciples. What an amazing opportunity that we have to make disciples in our community, to share our faith and show people that Jesus really cares for them. And we might be the first, we might be the first start of them seeing that Jesus cares for them. If I was to ask everybody here if they've got a need, or if they've got, then yeah, I've, you know, that, you know, look, we're talking about that. Is it Kirsten? Yeah, that wee girl. Do you know what I'm saying? Talking about Sam, talking about, we've all got needs. And I'm sorry, I can't help you with them. I can't fix those needs. I might be able to take you to visit her, or might be able to, but I can't fix that. But I know somebody that can. And sometimes the fixing is helping us to cope with it. The last time I came here, my friend's son had just been taken into Walsgrave and diagnosed with cancer. Diagnosed with LLA, leukemia, cancer of the blood. 9 months on, there's been some great progress, but I just watched these people and their faith in God. And I know people say, well, what about, you know, if there was a God, then how can you still believe in God if he's allowing that to happen? Look, we're human beings. We live in the world, right? It's going to affect us. The very fact that we're human beings means we will get diseases, we will get colds. You know, if you get through, you know, some of you might go for the flu jab. I'm not a big fan. Every time I get the flu jab, I end up worse, you know. For me, it just doesn't work, you know. But the chances are we're probably going to catch something off somebody. don't freak out. They'll go, who is it? Is that is it you? You? No. You know what I mean? We're human beings. We live in a world that's fallen and it's flawed, but Jesus isn't. And so though I can't fix, although I can't, you know, maybe make your circumstances different, I know somebody that will be in them with you. I know somebody that will carry you through them. I know somebody that will help you be distinct, set apart, and connect. I'm going to pray. I know we've went a wee bit over time, so apologies for that. And I think what Simon had to say was just spot on. I think God's been speaking to us this morning. We need to act in it. We need to say, okay, I've sat down. I've hidden for long enough. Maybe it's time for me to step up, God. Maybe it's time for me to get involved. Father, we thank you that you call us to a life that's full, to an adventure, that you come down and you come into your circumstances. So help us to do that, Father. Help us not just to sit in there and wallow, but to see you, to ask for your help in those circumstances and those situations, to ask for your help to meet the needs of our friends as much as we can. But Lord, we just pray and ask that your kingdom would come here in Carnley. You'd bless each person, each family represented. You know the struggles that we're going through. But we give ourselves to you, Lord Jesus. We give our lives to you. We want to say we give you everything. So in Jesus' name we do that right now, Lord. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you call us to be your ambassadors, to be sons and daughters, to be heirs, and to share the blessing that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.